Hey folks. Just driving back from Regina. Thought maybe I'd do a live just to have a little chat about some things. I'll just wait till more people get in. Do me a favor and share this out. If you're watching it as the recording, then please share the link. I'm streaming to my main Facebook page. I'm streaming to my Mark Friesen PPC page, which should actually say Mark Friesen Buffalo Party, Saskatchewan. However, Facebook won't allow me to switch that because I have limits on my account. And I'm also streaming to Mark Friesen Saskatoon Brasswood, and I'm also streaming to Canada First, as well as YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, and DLive. Because I can only stream to 8 platforms through StreamYard. They don't allow any more, which is kind of a shame. I'd like to also do Rumble and Odyssey at the same time, but I always upload to there after anyway, so all good. Anyway, it looks like we're starting to get a little populated here. Again, I'm still quite shadow banned. So if you could help me out by sharing and hammering that like button as we get going, that would be greatly appreciated. It all helps to bust through the shadow banning and share to your groups as well on Facebook and retweet if you're on Twitter. So yeah, I've spent enough time talking about Pierre Poilievre between yesterday and today, but it's necessary. It's something that we got to talk about. It's important because it does affect us right here in Saskatchewan as well. I mean, they're all the same, the establishment parties. They're all in agreement with the agenda. I mean, the answers are the same. When it comes to the Conservative Party federally and the Sask Party provincially, and I'm sure it's the same in other provinces as well with the Conservatives, the CNOs, Conservative in name only. The Sask Party is not Conservative. They haven't been Conservative since Brad Wall left. And even then, they were a combination of the Liberals and the progressive conservatives. Anybody that puts an addendum or a prefix on their name that is progressive, it sort of cancels out conservatism. But anyway, so that's what the Sask Party is in Saskatchewan. It's a merger between liberals and conservatives, progressive conservatives. So there's not a whole lot that's terribly conservative about the Sask Party anyway. So it's necessary that somebody else, some other party, some other entity, and at the moment it's the Buffalo Party of Saskatchewan that is representing the people on the right in this province. It's not the Sask Party. Sorry to break it to you. And you look at the answer that they all give in terms of, what's your position on the sustainable development agenda, which is the root of all our problems, not only in this province, but in this country and every other province. That's the root of it. It's the root of everything. And we need to recognize that, we need to acknowledge it, and our politicians need to be held to account about it because they are responsible for it. But the answer is the same, whether it's the federal conservatives or the Saskatchewan Party. I don't know. I've never read it. I don't know anything about it. Which is a bald-faced lie. Just so we're clear. It's a bald-faced lie. Of course they know what it is. Scott Moe's campaign slogan, or at least one of them last election, had sustainable in it. And their budget was forecasted until 2030. I mean, I get it. There's a lot of people that have no idea what that represents and what that language represents, so they can get away with it. But it's our job as an opposition, as an opposition party, to inform people as many as possible as to the consequences to that and what it means to them. Because for decades, our politicians have omitted that by design, federally, provincially, municipally. They are lying by omission, by purposely not talking about something that represents grave consequences to our way of life. In fact, an agenda of 17 goals, in totality, those 17 goals will eventually control all aspects of your life. That's the plan. That's the agenda. And that's what the World Economic Forum is there to support. The World Economic Forum is a support mechanism for that agenda. The World Economic Forum is not a standalone entity that has a Great Reset plan above and beyond the UN agenda. It's absolutely there to represent and support that agenda. That's the purpose of the World Economic Forum. When Klaus Schwab writes a book called The Great Reset, that's not some standalone plan or agenda that supersedes any and all others. That's just remarketing, rebranding the UN Agenda 2030, Sustainable Development Agenda, SDGs. They're the same. But what the creation of the Great Reset did is it gave cover to conservatives like Pierre Poilievre and conservatives in the UK and Republicans in the States and provincial premiers like Kenny and Mo to denounce the World Economic Forum and give the appearance that they're standing against globalism. But when you understand that the World Economic Forum is a support mechanism for the greater agenda, then these people denouncing the Great Reset means very little. It means they're denouncing the marketing scheme for the agenda. They're not actually denouncing the agenda. So, anyways, I titled this discussion, this live stream, the Buffalo Party Saskatchewan separation ? Because there's a lot of people, I think, in the province that think the Buffalo Party is a separatist party. And I'm here to tell you that it's not. It's not the primary goal or primary focus. But, and I needed this clarification myself, because ultimately I'm not a separatist. And the reason I'm not a separatist is because I think by reducing ourselves to a two-province nation state of, you know, Alberta and Saskatchewan, let's say that's make 6 million people or 5 million, whatever it is, that in turn makes us a very small political entity on the global stage, on the world stage, and makes us very vulnerable to global influence, as we've seen happen with the Ukraine. The Ukraine held protests in 2013 and 14 by Ukrainian nationalists, and in some cases actually Ukrainian Nazis, that was quickly hijacked by globalists. If you look at the footage from those protests, the Maidan protests, you'll see in the crowd European Union flags flying, which would be very odd for a nationalist movement concerned about their sovereignty and their identity to be co-opted by the European Union. It's very odd, but it's what happened. And it was completely hijacked and taken over, so much so that Zelenko was put in as the president. I'm talking about a guy who was a comedian who played the role of president on TV in the Ukraine. And he was put in as president of that country, and a complete puppet of the World Economic Forum. And again, you're talking about a full-on movement, protests of nationalists that were completely hijacked and taken over. So it has to be something that's considered when we're talking about separation, that it puts us in a very vulnerable position, being, let's say, Saskatchewan and Alberta forming this new nation. That's still landlocked, by the way. And one of the short-sightedness of the APP, which I have a lot of respect for, and I like the people involved in it, so I'm not denouncing them in any way, but I think their approach to relying on the UN as the mechanism to force pipelines to Tidewater in DC is completely wrong-headed. The UN is never going to support a breakaway state such as whatever Alberta and Saskatchewan would be, and defend their right to get dirty energy, in their eyes, not mine, to Tidewater, when they have an agenda of net zero, when they have an agenda to go green energy in replacement of fossil fuel energy. They're not going to support you getting our resources to Tidewater through BC. So the last thing you want to do is make yourself more vulnerable by relying on an unelected, unaccountable foreign entity that does not have your best interest in mind. You don't want to rely on people like that, ever. So that's not a good idea, and that's not a reasonable plan. And it shouldn't be the only reason you're separating. There are other ways to go about it. Like, Tidewater could be Churchill. Tidewater could be the Hudson Bay. Tidewater could be pipelines running through northern Manitoba. And that's something that needs to be discussed further. So I'm not a separatist, and it's for a lot of those reasons. Now, at the end of the day, if we can't get a fair deal from Ottawa, if we can't get respect within Confederation in our best interests in the West, and it's about survival, then all bets are off. But here's the thing. In order for us to get that fair treatment, in order for us to be able to negotiate a fair deal, we have to have leverage. Now, I think we have a lot of leverage before you even talk about separation. We have all the resources that the country needs, that the world wants and needs, right here between Saskatchewan and Alberta. I mean, we produce food, and Manitoba too, when you talk about food production. Oil and gas, potash, fertilizer, uranium, natural gas, oil. Rare earth minerals. We have everything the world wants and needs. So we have some leverage. We have to exercise that leverage. We have to exercise that power within the existing constitution that we really haven't, and we need to. But at the same time, look at what Quebec has done for decades. There's a reason why Quebec always gets what they want. Because on two occasions, they came very close to voting in favor of separation. And the federal government, regardless of it's the conservatives or the liberals, absolutely dread the idea of Quebec leaving, because that's the province that gets them elected. So they dread it. And Quebec knows this, and they use that, and they take advantage of it. So in order for us to go to the table with leverage, we need the people of Saskatchewan. Alberta needs the people of Alberta to give them polling numbers over 50% in favor. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean you act on that, but what it means is you go to Ottawa negotiating a fair deal for Saskatchewan with, say, 55-60% of the province in favor of separation. Then you have leverage. Then you force Ottawa to listen, finally, to the people of Saskatchewan and Alberta in the West. That doesn't mean you go straight to referendum. It means you try to negotiate a fair deal within Confederation to keep our country together and strong. But things change drastically. And at the end of the day, it's not playing politics. It's not playing leverage. It is ultimately serious, because if Ottawa doesn't take it seriously and doesn't take that leverage very seriously that we come to the table with, then it becomes survival at that point. And if it's about survival, then we have to do whatever it is we have to do to survive. And if the East continues to drag us into globalism, into the destruction of the nation state, into the destruction of Western civilization, into the destruction of our prosperity, into the destruction of our freedom, and what Western civilization represents, then we have no choice. But we have to be able to at least get to the table and negotiate from a position of strength, from a position of power. And the only way you get that power, as we've seen with Quebec, is to have a legitimate threat of separation that says, hey, Ottawa, hey, Toronto, hey, Quebec, we're tired. We're tired of being abused. We want a fair deal. And if I got, and if I'm happen to be negotiating this, or whoever it is, has 55, 60% in favor of separation, then what's Ottawa going to do? It's precisely what Quebec has done for decades, and they get everything they want. They don't have to produce a thing. They don't have to tap into their natural resources. They can virtue signal till they're blue in the face about everything they're doing that's so green and lovely. Meanwhile, we're funding them. We're funding that virtue signaling. We're funding the East with our energy that they want to destroy. Imagine that. Imagine them destroying the energy industry, which they're attempting to do in this country. And if they're successful, then what do we have? Then what are we in Saskatchewan, Alberta? You see, back in the day, when they were bringing together Confederation and creating provinces, there was an enormous province, basically Saskatchewan and Alberta, chock full of resources, that the Laurentian elite didn't want to be a single province because it would have been too powerful with all of the resources. So they split it into two. And that region was going to be called Buffalo, which is why the Buffalo Party is so named, representative of when those two provinces were to be one. And the Laurentian elite didn't like that. They didn't want to compete with that sort of power. So they broke it up into two. That's why the Buffalo Party of Saskatchewan is so named. And I believe the Buffalo Party of Alberta is also so named. So again, to clarify, I'm not a separatist. I don't think it's the best option. I really don't. I think it makes us vulnerable. And the Buffalo Party isn't primarily a separatist party. It isn't. Preferably, we want to stay in Confederation under a new deal, under a fair deal. But we need leverage to get that fair deal. We need negotiating power to get that fair deal. And it's really the only way. And I've had discussion, the same discussion with Bob Lyon, the founder of the APP, the Alberta Prosperity Project, and we're of the same mind. Bob agrees with my position on how I present it. Now the APP, since Bob left, Their language is a little stronger towards separation. And I get it, because if you're presenting something that you want the people to support, then you need to present it in a way that they'll support it. I'm not necessarily on board with some of the language they use, and that's okay. I still love what they're doing. And it's an extremely important piece to this puzzle. Because again, for me, it's all about globalism. And if Eastern Canada continues to move in that direction, continues to support political parties that are in favor of globalism, and that's all of them, the establishment, that's the Liberals, the Conservatives, the NDP, the Greens, the Bloc, they're all on board with it. So we have to attack this provincially, which is one of the reasons why when the Buffalo Party asked me to run, I accepted, because I believe that the provinces can play an enormous role in shutting down globalism in this country. And it starts right here in Saskatchewan. Of course, Alberta is going to play a huge role too. But the difference between Saskatchewan and Alberta is we still have more than 50% rural folks in Saskatchewan. And most rural folks are all about decentralization, are all about self-reliance, self-determination, and independence, and autonomy, and community. And that's what they want to protect and defend. Whereas in Alberta, you have Calgary and Edmonton that make up the lion's share of the population in that province. So it makes it hard for the rural folks with the self-reliance, self-determination, and independence values and community and decentralization tougher, right? Because they got to work against the people that live in the cities who, in large part, not saying all, not everybody, but in large part, are dependent on government and are usually in a union and want to grow their union and want to grow their membership. And again, dependent on government. Or if they're not employed, they're also dependent on government through our social services, welfare, and other programs. So a large portion of city dwellers are dependent on big government, nanny state, authoritarianism, totalitarianism. And they don't want to see their meal ticket taken away. So that's the challenge for Albertans, is they have Edmonton and Calgary, right? Whereas in Saskatchewan, we still have more than 50% rural to urban. And that's important. That is so important, which is why we have this opportunity right now to lead the country against the sustainable development agenda, against globalism, against the World Economic Forum. And we have to take advantage of that opportunity. So when the Buffalo Party came to me and asked if I wanted to run, this was one of the big considerations that led me to say yes. Because we do have that opportunity. It really, and I'm genuine when I say this, it's the people of Saskatchewan, through doing all of the tours that we've been doing and town halls, it was actually the people of Saskatchewan that inspired me to do this. And it made my light bulb turn on that, you know what? This province, this little province of Saskatchewan can lead the country. We can lead the country in stopping this globalist mess. We really can. And what an opportunity. So, you know, for people that ask, and I know there's some people out there that are maybe even a little frustrated that I chose to run provincially. Listen, it doesn't mean I don't still support the PPC. I'm 100% behind the PPC and what the PPC represents. They're the only party that officially stands against globalism and the UN agenda and all of its agreements and treaties and compacts and whatever else. It's the only party that stands against all that nonsense. It's the only party that stands against climate change insanity, right? It's the only party that stands against it. So, of course, I'm going to continue to support them. I'm going to continue to support Max and what he's built. And I take a lot of pride in what the PPC is because, let's face it, I spent a long, hard few years making sure that that was the PPC's position. That we were the party that stands against globalism and that we were the party that is Canada First. And so I'll always support the PPC as long as it maintains, you know, who they are. And I'm sure it will. It has to. And I'm a member, and I'll always be a member until I'm not, for whatever reason. But I really do think that we have an enormous opportunity in Saskatchewan to lead this country out of the globalist mess we're in. But I'm running in a city riding, and it seems to me that the majority of city folks are less concerned with what's happening. Now, unfortunately, what they fail to do is connect the cost of living, for example, inflation, to globalism, because that's precisely what's causing inflation and the cost of living and the cost of food, the cost of groceries, and I mean everything. Your mortgage, interest rates going up, rent's going up because mortgage rates are going up. So everything's going up. Everything's becoming more expensive. And that's all due to sustainable development agenda. And, you know, they're very quick. The pundits on these mainstream media outlets are very quick to blame COVID for all this. And I keep having to remind people that it was the Prime Minister who in the fall of 2021 announced to the world that they're using COVID-19 as an opportunity to reimagine the economy and to achieve the goals of sustainable development. Those were Trudeau's words. That's what he said. And then sometime after that, Chrystia Freeland said the same thing, that they're using COVID to achieve the goals of sustainable development to reimagine the economy, echoing what Prime Minister said. Klaus Schwab wrote a book, COVID-19 and the Great Reset, which is, again, marketing terminology supporting the sustainable development agenda. That's all it is. So everything that's cost us money, everything that is made everything more expensive, inflation, cost of living, taxes, is all attributable to them wanting to achieve the goals of sustainable development as an enormous redistribution of wealth agenda, which it is. We know that that's what it is. To suck as much wealth as absolutely possible from Western nations where the wealth resides. This is the plan. And they've been very good at it. So much so that we never dreamt our debt and deficits would be so insanely high as they are. over $1 trillion in debt. $350 billion in deficit. It's just, it's completely insane. But it all is in line with redistribution of wealth. So everything that they're experiencing, and right down to Saskatoon, Miwasan, can be related to this agenda. It's all related to it. Everything. Everything we're experiencing. And while we're all stressed out about being able to afford our mortgage payments, when the time comes that we can't, who's going to come in and buy us out? BlackRock, Vanguard, they're going to come in and buy neighborhoods, as they're doing. Bill Gates is going to buy up your farm because they want to control food production. They want to control food distribution. They want to control everything. They want to control housing. They want to force everybody into the cities because people are much easier to control in the cities. This is what they know. If you can get people off their land and out of this sense of self-reliance, self-determination, and independence, and community, and then jam them into the cities, that's it. You win. So all of this is connected. This idea that 30% nitrogen reduction in fertilizer is somehow going to save the planet. Well, it isn't. It actually, what it'll do, and they've already announced it in Africa, it's going to create famine and starvation of hundreds of millions of people. While not doing anything to affect climate change. Nothing. But it's about control. It's about destroying the livelihoods of our farmers and ranchers in Saskatchewan, our food producers. And if you think in Saskatoon, Miwasan, that little riding in Saskatoon, isn't affected by this agenda, you're blind and you're sadly mistaken. And it's time to rise and shine, because everything goes back to this agenda. The agenda that they signed, that Harper signed in 2015, September 27th, a month before Trudeau was elected, was called Agenda 2030, Transforming Our World. And if you read the agenda and you read the 17 goals and what they represent, it is most definitely transformative. It'll transform our way of life to something unrecognizable, where we'll all be living in the city in pods, without personal vehicles, without personal transportation, without the ability to actually travel anywhere. That's what all of this is. That's how they used the pandemic to condition you to the government dictating the terms of your life. That's what it is. 99.7% survivability, and they shut everything down. They locked you in your house. They destroyed your small business. They destroyed your livelihood. They convinced you to wear a diaper on your face even though the science doesn't back it. They convinced you of all this. Because they're conditioning you. They're socially engineering the masses. And they have the media to do it. So I know I talk about big picture, and some people would wish that I talk about more specifics, but this affects everybody in every riding across this country, federally and provincially and municipally. So when I talk about these things, I'm talking to the people of Saskatoon, Miwassa, who need to understand how all of this is connected. Right down to education. We have a government in Saskatchewan that is allowing teachers and teachers unions to dictate curriculum and allowing teachers to indoctrinate our kids, to groom our kids. Again, this comes from the UN. This is SOGI. Sexual orientation and gender identity is the anagram SOGI. And it's grooming, because if you can transform enough children into transgenderism or multigenderism or LGBTQ supremacy, then all of a sudden our kids aren't having kids. The nuclear family is a thing of the past. Procreation is over. And which leads into, of course, because they still need a tax base, and Africa is still making babies, and the Middle East is still making babies. So you come up with a migration compact. You come up with mass immigration to transform our world. People that are accustomed to living in a dictatorship. People that are okay and don't necessarily oppose being told what to do by the government because they grew up in it. So all of this is connected. All of it is part of this agenda. That's just the facts. Because I know people are going to call me bigoted and xenophobic and racist because I said those things. But I'm not the one saying it. They are. I'm just repeating what their plan is. This is what they've told everybody they're going to do. But because I'm the messenger, I'll be shot for it. I'm getting used to that. I've gone through that already. I'm on the other end. But so everything I talk about is related to that agenda, and everyone's struggles right now to earn a decent wage. I mean, there's a reason why small business was decimated, and at the same time, multinationals, big corporations, oligarchs, monopolies, big tech, all had record profits through COVID, because they've all been promised that they will be the entities that replace mom and pop stores, that replace local, that replace small business and medium-sized business. The multinationals have already been promised this, which is why they all agree to this agenda, which is how Klaus Schwab was used to bring in these oligarchs and multinationals into the World Economic Forum, because they need this convergence of communism and fascism. It's necessary for them to achieve their goals. Those two ideologies are working together. They merged a long time ago, late 60s, to bring this agenda to life. Think about that. When I say we're in a war, I mean it. It's not a kinetic war. It's not a traditional war that we've seen. This is a information war, spiritual war, cultural war, all mixed in together. Which is why it's so crazy. Which is why everything is upside down and inside out. So it does affect the people of Saskatoon, Churchill, Saskatoon, Mewawson, Saskatoon, Center, Saskatoon, whatever the other ridings are, I don't even know, provincially. And across the country, everybody will be negatively affected and impacted by this agenda. That's why everyone is negatively affected right now with the cost of living coming out of a pandemic. Which is why it's so important to stand for our freedoms and defend our freedoms and our way of life. Because they're coming after it. They have to. They can't achieve the goals of sustainable development under Western civilization values. They can't do it. They simply can't do it. They have to destroy our way of life. They have to destroy our freedoms. And like Dennis Meadows says, they're going to reduce the population from 7 billion to 1 billion. But even if we have 8 or 9 billion, that's okay as long as we're living under a strong dictatorship. Which again, is exactly what that represents, and what this whole agenda represents, is a dictatorship, a global dictatorship, which is also why Trudeau, in the first week of being elected, referred to our country as the first post-nation state and a country that has no core identity. That's why he said that. He wasn't talking to us, he wasn't talking to you. He was talking to his handlers, telling them that, yes, he's committed to the agenda that Harper just signed a month before he was elected. Go search the New York Times interview of Justin Trudeau after he's elected. It says right in that article, and he refers to us as the post-national state. And that's exactly what he means. They need to destroy the nation state. They need governance from a global perspective. Socialism, communism on steroids, dictatorship from a global perspective, and that's what's coming, that's what they want. They've told us this. Again, none of this is theory, none of this is me having a dream, all of this is what they've told us. And it's important that people know that, and I'm not going to stop talking about it. And so all of the issues, again, right down to education, are problems with the education system that people of Saskatoon, Mewawson are concerned with, is related to sustainable development agenda. Our curriculum is being dictated to us from an unelected, unaccountable foreign entity that our unions, teachers' unions, have bought into, which is why they're supporting furries in the classroom and bringing in litter boxes for the students to destroy the fabric of our culture. we all know that unions are collectivists. Unions just use their workers. They use them. They're just numbers. Trust me, I know, I was in one for 25 years, government. Trust me, I know how the unions use their members. They are numbers, that's all they are. Unions use those numbers to push policy, to try to push governments around. And when you have weak government like Scott Moe's party, they're easy to push around. And that's what's happening. We need a government that actually says no to this insanity. No. And allow parents to dictate the terms to their teachers of what they're going to teach their students. I encourage you to look at the Buffalo Party policy. I went through it the other night. You can check out the video. But all this stuff is talked about. And the reason it's policy, because it came from the members. And the members' experience in real life, in real time, is there needs to be enormous change. We have to take this in a completely 180 degree direction to where it's going. And so these policies that were created are in response to what's happening in real time on the ground in people's lives. That's why I love the policy so much, because it is member driven. It's based on the people. It's based on the people's experience. And that's why it's so important to support my campaign and support this party. Because it represents common sense. It represents 180 degree change in direction back to our way of life, back to our cherished values. I can't, words don't do it to relay how important this is and how much this means to me. I've been beating this drum for a long time, and I have a lot of hope and a lot of encouragement based on what I'm hearing around this province. And again, it's the people of this province that inspired me to run provincially and to help give the people of Saskatchewan a voice in the legislature that represents their interests. And it's just so important. So, a couple of things that I wanted to mention and get across tonight. While I'm traveling, I went to Regina to pick up my lawn signs that Sleek printed out for us. And we went to them because they were fairly quick and fairly inexpensive and put out a really good product. So they were ready today. They got the call, so I drove out to grab them, and I'm on my way home now. So I figured I'd use this time to have a chat with you folks. And at the bottom of the screen, you can see, if you want to support my campaign and donate to the campaign, anybody in the country can donate. Unfortunately, though, if you're donating from outside the province, which is greatly appreciated, we can't give you a receipt to write off. But there have been a number of people that have donated from around the country. Maxime Bernier actually donated to my campaign. Thanks, Max. Much appreciated. And others have as well across the country, which is also greatly appreciated. So thank you. Because it starts here. It starts local. It's how we attack this beast. The antidote to globalism, the antidote to hyper-centralization, the antidote to global governance is local, is community, is the lowest common denominator, is radical decentralization. That's the antidote to all of this insanity. And that's what the Buffalo Party represents. That's what I'm going to represent. So, again, you can go to the Buffalo Party website and donate there. Everything they get in donations from the time the election was called to September 26th will go to my campaign. And your donations have helped to this point. All, of course, much appreciated. We were able to obviously buy lawn signs. We're able to buy pamphlets, 8,000 of them, that are presently being delivered by our volunteers and door knockers, which is greatly appreciated. And some other things. So we're, you know, we still want to get some radio ads. We still want to do some robocalls. So we still need, you know, lots of donations to run an effective campaign. But well, we're doing all we can with what we got, and we'll get there. So that's it. That's about all I got to say. I don't have my reading glasses on, so, and it's hard to read the comments when I'm driving. It's not really a good idea. So unfortunately, I can't read your comments or comment on them. So I apologize for that. But other than that, that's going to be a wrap. I'm just getting through Davidson here, and be home in a little over an hour. So other than that, that's going to be a wrap. Thanks, guys. Have a good night. Remember, globalism, bad. Nationalism, good. Ciao for now. And I don't have my intro or exit video, so it's just going to be fine. And again, I can't read your comments without my reading glasses, and I shouldn't be reading them anyway. But I will read them after. All right. Thanks, guys. Ciao for now. Remember, like, hit the like button. And if you're on YouTube, make sure you head over and subscribe so I can get those numbers up, and like it over there too. And share this video out, share the recording. It's all good. All right. Ciao.